If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day. I hope your week went well. We had some activity with the ground shaking, and we got some storms coming on the East Coast. We're going to be praying for all of those up and down the East Coast with the hurricane, of course. And we got a great show. It's all about empowerment, something positive to get you out there and enjoy life more abundantly, healthier, you know, with a big smile on your face. We are going to be answering the question from a listener in the American Voice chat room who had asked about how they can reduce creatinine levels, protein in the urine, because we did a show recently this week on how to diabetics without drugs, and that prompted a question. So we're going to address that today on how we can naturally balance and help the kidneys perk up. So we're gonna look at that. And we are going to be talking about herbs that we can use for depression and anxiety. We didn't get to them on Tuesday, so we're going to do that. And then if we have time, we'll talk about some foods you want to definitely have and foods you definitely want to avoid, kind of a have and have not list, okay? So we got some great stuff to empower you, some common sense, natural things that you will just, you know, enjoy using because it'll give you so much freedom. And we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that, a big salute and semper fi to our military. We're always looking out for them, praying for them. God's hand of protection be on our men and women that dedicate themselves and offer up so much in our military. So we're going to be praying for them. And while you're seeking the Lord's face in prayer, pray for all of America. We need righteous men and women to stand up and take these positions of power in this country back and bring us one nation under God once again. And if you're seeking the Lord's face in prayer, I can offer up this suggestion in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Boy, do we not need a big healing in this country, or what? We definitely do. So mind the time, folks. Seek the Lord's face. Get in that word, because God's word doesn't come back void. Use his words in your prayer, and you'll see a big difference. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Well, I don't know if you heard recently, but there was a guy, I think it was in Kansas, if I'm not mistaken, who is suing the hospital and his doctors, and his wife was also suing because he had gone to the hospital. He had a little bit of a swelling and tenderness and pain in his manly area, if you know what I mean. And so the doctors decided, well, you know, we're going to perform a circumcision. A circumcision they felt would take care of it. So the guy signed the surgical waiver form, and he goes into surgery. And while they're in surgery, going to do the circumcision, the doctor says he discovered cancer. And so they had to remove, you know, the appendage, if you get my drift. And so the guy wakes up with, you know, less of him, not expecting that at all. And so he's all, you know, upset, I would assume so. And but, you know, the legal eagles say he signed a general surgical waiver form, which means the hospital can pretty much do what they want to you. And he lost the lawsuit. So here's something, folks. Few people know that when you check into a hospital and receive that hospital bracelet, you accept or agree to be experimented on, but you didn't know that. Patients actually need to ask at the check-in for the bracelet, which is usually a different color, like pink, which will notify hospital staff that all procedures need to be signed off on. Total disclosure, no experiments. You'll read all about the non-disclosed policies at healthcare facilities in Jerry Holland Buck's book, 24/7 Are Dead. You can find that on Amazon.com, and so, you know, empower yourself with knowledge. Whew. And let's see, moving along in the quack report, scientists respond to the overuse of agricultural chemicals and genetically engineered crops. So you know what they're doing? They're producing crops that make their own fertilizer. Yeah. Researchers from the University of Alberta, Canada, say they have come up with a novel new way to eventually end the practice of having to apply all those environmentally harmful fertilizer chemicals to commercial crops. The plan has nothing to do with eliminating genetically modified organisms or, you know, phasing out industrial monoculture and replacing it with small-scale polyculture, you know, the, you know, traditional way of growing. This whole scientific experiment is published in the Journal of Science, and they're focusing on ways to genetically engineer synthetic plants to artificially produce their own fertilizers. Now, their solution then to manipulating nature in an effort to solve the problems caused by previously manipulating nature is this, which, you know, basically is insane. Okay, moving on. Pregnant women, they're now being doused, inundated with toxic chemotherapy drugs. This is incredible. Chemotherapy drugs, you lose your hair, it reduces muscle mass, it makes you throw up, your overall health deteriorates. But now the insanity out there from our modern medicine is now they're going to make sure they prescribe chemotherapy drugs for pregnant women. Apparently, women that become pregnant, they're told to avoid that alcohol, that caffeine, those cigarettes, sushi, anything that risks the health of the baby. And almost every single medication and even supplements on the market have warning labels, not for pregnant or nursing moms, right? Consult your doctor. Well, it's kind of rare, but, getting cancer when you're pregnant happens 1 in 1,000. And pregnancy associated with breast cancer is on the rise a little bit there. So it's more common now for pregnant women that get any of these cancers are being put on chemotherapy drugs while they're pregnant. You know, they used to recommend an abortion before they take the chemotherapy drugs. Either one of those is not a good solution, really. But studies have shown that the birth defect rate is as high as 20% when a pregnant mom is given chemotherapy in the first trimester. They say the rate drops to 1.3% in the later trimesters of pregnancy. But pregnant patients are also recommended to receive the same drugs as non-pregnant patients in the same proportional doses according to their weight. So chemotherapy-treated patients usually get a combination of three drugs, and one of them is a doxorubicin, which you can read about on drugs.com, which says it's fatally harmful to pregnant women and the baby. Whoa. Okay, moving along in the quack report. Cancer, now curable, according to stunning documentary. That's right. You know, alternative cancer treatments have been growing in popularity, catching on quickly all over the world. And it's a movement which will kind of reveal, that conventional medical treatments for cancer are pretty insane. Don't do a thing. Marcus Fudeman, I guess I pronounced his name correctly, he's a European, and his wife Sabrina, naturopathic doctors, they traveled the world with their four kids for 3 years, and they documented alternative cancer treatments, okay? And they wanted to wake up the world, to alternative treatments for this. Now they have this new feature, full-length documentary. It's available on naturalnews.com, and it's called Cancer is Curable Now, and might be what the world needs. This is breakthrough news. The more people to see that countless others are actually getting well with non-toxic natural ways of curing their disease, may catch on. What do you think? Yeah. More power to them. And last but not least in the quack report, hospital patients now being microchipped with electronic tattoos. Did you hear about this one? Yeah. Being microchipped is going to be big business. They're putting a spin on this. It's a method of protecting the health of hospital patients, they say. They microchip with little sensors, and they're being referred to as electronic tattoos. They attach to the skin, and they stretch, and they move without breaking. This is a very small, hair-thin electronic patch. Has a little electronic microchip on it. And they're being made now to adhere to the skin in snazzy colors applied with water, just like those temporary tattoos. And the device is a small chip, less than 50 micrometers thick, thinner than the diameter of a human hair, being marketed as a safe and easy way to temporarily monitor heart and brain functions in patients. They hope to replace those bulky medical pieces of equipment they currently have in hospitals. So the device uses the microelectronic technology called Epidermal Electronic System, or EES, and it's said to it's going to be transforming the medical fencing technology, also the computer gaming area, and also even spy operations. So this Hairfin chip was developed by an international team of researchers from the United States, China, and Singapore, and their work is being described in the Journal of Science. But you know what? They started with the pets, you know, chipping the pets, become increasingly common over the past few years, sort of like, you know, little microchips, grain of rice with little barcodes, kind of like scanning your groceries, you can scan your pet. And, you know, subdermal chips were recommended by vets and animal care experts as a way to ensure, you know, lost pets can find their way home. Well, research suggests that despite their proclaimed usefulness, pet microchips have caused cancer. Yeah, multiple studies have clearly linked the pet microchips with increased incidence of cancer and tumors in mice and rats. And the animal microchip study findings that created such an uproar got the attention of Dr. Robert Benzera. He's the head of cancer biology genetics program at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. And after he read the information on microchipping and cancer in animals, he said this, quote, "There's no way in the world, having read this information, that I would have one of those chips implanted in my skin or in one of my family members," end of quote. A 2001 study found that 1% of the rats with implanted microchips developed cancerous tumors near the chip location. At least a dozen animal studies have been done between 1990 and 2007. All of them, or most of them, concluded that microchips significantly increase the risk of cancer around, especially, the chip site. So, yeah. They're not getting near me with one of those. No, 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 no. Uh-uh. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Magical Engineer Frank. Yeah, man, if they held me down and chipped me, man, I'd be getting a pocket knife out and kind of getting rid of that thing. I don't care. All right, we're going to talk about somebody on the American Voice Radio chat room. I had asked the question, you know, how do you reduce the protein levels in urines if you have a buildup of waste called creatinine? How do you reduce those levels in the blood and protein in the urine? So we're going to talk about that. Yes, we are. Since I received that request, we're going to talk about the buildup of waste products due to malfunctioning kidneys, which make our blood sick. Now, medical science calls this elevated, this level of waste elevated creatinine levels. And those with elevated creatinine levels also have their urine monitored for protein. And when the kidneys no longer filter the blood as they should, the waste levels rise. And this is an early indication of kidney disease, which shows up in the lab work, unfortunately, when the patient has already lost about 40% of kidney function. Okay, so, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, you're getting your lab work, you know, done occasionally, and all of a sudden, bam, we've got some protein levels in the urine, and we've got some elevated creatinine levels in the blood, you know, you're already on that slippery slope. You know, it's kind of like when they test the liver to make sure that the liver enzymes are okay because you're on some sort of medication that affects the liver. By the time those liver enzymes start showing up, the damage is being done to the liver. So, is there a natural way to balance the system and bring normal function back, perk up the kidneys, you know, get back to normal? Well, let's find out. Let's just put our thinking caps on. And what is it really? What is the waste from the kidneys, the creatinine, made of? Well, it is essentially a protein made of amino acids. Our bodies produce about 1 gram each day in the liver, pancreas, and the kidneys. So what does the body make creatinine from? Well, it's made from the foods we eat, such as dairy products and meats, like your beef, chicken, and fish. So why does the body produce creatinine. You know, what do they need it for? Well, it's essential for storing energy in our cells. And in some cases, the creatinine is made specifically for nerve cells and becomes creatine phosphate. So this protein converted to amino acids for cell food helps our muscles store more energy for strength, recovery, and endurance. And this is why some athletes will take creatine supplements. Well, we'll talk about hydration for just a second, because in some instances, elevated creatinine levels can occur from dehydration. And those with one kidney, such as, you know, kidney donors or kidney recipients, they're more susceptible to dehydration. And one of the first things physicians will do is rule out dehydration when they see elevated creatinine levels. So that's the first thing that they look for. Now, here's some other causes for the elevation of these levels. Some other diseases can create an elevation in the creatinine levels. Patients with arterial sclerosis, you know, the hardening of the arteries, or patients who have had cardiovascular surgeries, such as heart surgery, aneurysm repair, or a stent insertion, will cause a rise in the creatinine levels. Now, these conditions will also be on the doctor's checklist to rule out. Also, high blood pressure and diabetes will also lend to the elevation of the creatinine levels. Prescription drugs can also cause this abnormal condition and will also be on the checklist for your physician. Drugs such as chemotherapy drugs, antibiotics, cholesterol, and heart medicines such as your ACE inhibitors, anti-inflammatory drugs like your non-steroidals, and your diuretics such as Lasix can elevate creatine levels. Now, by the way, diabetic drugs cause various cardiovascular problems, weaken the immune system, and give you low energy. And this would be a reason for your doctor to prescribe you the antibiotics, the ACE inhibitors, and the other drugs we've mentioned. Antifungal drugs can also cause dehydration, which elevates creatinine levels. Anti-inflammatory drugs can cause diabetes. Aspirin therapy can cause cardiovascular disease such as arrhythmia, and drugs to address these problems can cause the elevation in creatinine levels. Medications to treat Parkinson's disease can cause heart disease, exposing you to the heart drugs. Antiviral drugs affect liver function and glucose levels, creating heart disease. Asthma bronchodilators create heart problems. And artificial hormone replacement and gout drugs offer risk of heart disease. So all the psychotherapeutic, mental drugs, you know, depression, anxiety, all those, schizophrenia, all that stuff offer cardiovascular risk as well as ulcer drugs. So it's the hamster wheel of drugs here that cause disease and the elevation in the creatinine levels. Huh. Dr. Carley is so right. They create disease in order to treat you for it, which creates more disease in order to treat you for it. So lucrative, let me tell you. Okay, let's talk about some of the symptoms. Patients with elevated creatinine levels will experience a variety of symptoms, such as feeling dehydrated, fatigued, have shortness of breath, confusion, and other non-specific symptoms like, you know, they just feel sick. That's right, they just feel sick. Okay, so I want to mention just quickly salt, because if you have a kidney problem, here's something your doctor may not have explained to you. The processed salt, that white sodium chloride, which has been pretty much stripped of all the vital nutrition for the cardiovascular system, for cell structure, for other vital areas, well, this salt will complicate conditions of heart disease and those with liver and kidney disease. But natural salts found in your foods, such as in your tomatoes, asparagus, celery, spinach, kale, radishes, turnips, carrots, lettuce, strawberries, and others, they're okay to use. But avoid prepackaged foods with the added processed salt, and avoid adding salt while cooking your foods at home. Now, organic salt is different, however, and as it's not been processed and it hasn't been stripped away of the 84 microminerals that the body chemistry depends on. So organic salt helps maintain the proper fluid balance, assists the muscle contractions for the heart, assists the nervous system to function, and helps maintain proper pH balance in the blood and urine, strengthens cell membranes, and helps us to absorb more nutrients from our foods. But avoid the processed salt and use organic salt sparingly until your renal system becomes a bit stronger. So are there some foods to avoid? Well, prepackaged foods, of course, high in your processed salt will typically be cheese, fast food, processed meats, canned soups, canned fish, bouillon broth, canned vegetables, frozen dinners, bread products, celery salt, garlic salt, onion salt, salted snacks and nuts, pickles, olives, sauerkraut, bottled water and water from a water softener system, okay? All the bottled water now, if you read the labels, will say enhanced with minerals. You know, it's the crappy salt. Also, avoid sauces such as Worcestershire, ketchup, and soy sauce. Now, the common food additives, which also contain salt, are your MSG, your baking powder, and your baking soda. So please read all your labels real careful. And, you know, the organic salt is a little different, but don't overdo it, okay? What about herbs for your kidneys? Well, you know, I've mentioned before some herbs that help kidney function, renal function, but that juniper berries often should not be used if your kidneys are failing or weak. Juniper berries are often used to cleanse the kidneys but can irritate weak kidneys. Other herbs that you can use are going to be cayenne pepper, chicory, white oak bark, black cohosh, bloodroot, parsley, Oregon graperoot, poke root, chamomile, comfrey leaf, cleaver's herb, corn silk, dandelion root, elderberry, golden seal root, marshmallow root, nettle, meadow sweet herb, sassafras, spearmint, uvarisi leaf, and aloe. So these are some of the herbs that you can use in combinations to help with the kidney function and the protein in the urine, the creatinine level. But you know what? It's a good idea to cleanse your system. If you want to restore balance, you're going to need to remove toxins and open up the elimination channels of your body. Diabetics and those with elevated creatinine levels will need to cleanse the system in the proper order for safety and success. You start with a bowel. Next, use herb supplements to cleanse the urinary, kidney, and bladder, which do not contain juniper berries. Next, move to the liver and gallbladder, and finish with the blood cleanse. The blood cleanse is going to be real important. Also, watch the diet. Avoid starchy vegetables and excessive carbohydrates. And you'll find herb organ cleanses as well as herb formulas for circulation, blood pressure, cholesterol, the wonderful marshmallow root. They're all apothecary herbs, and you can call for a free product catalog. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 803-746-0219, 803-746-0219. Or you can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. They start with you. We've got to take a break. On the other side, we're going to talk about herbs for depression if you're bummed out. We'll be right back.
We get it almost every night. And when that moon gets big and bright, it's a supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here is out of sight. But they don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose, they keep things alive. Every border was dancing in the moonlight.
Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine.
life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
back here on Herb Talk Live. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're going to talk about depression, bummed out, anxiety, if you're kind of feeling a little low. A lot of things going on in the world, and it's easy to get distracted by those things and, you know, kind of get caught up in it. So we got the health care reform that a lot of people are concerned about. We got, you know, people losing their homes, cost of food, everything going up. So people are, you know, a little antsy, a little edgy. So we're going to talk about some things that can, you know, kind of help us focus and stay in control. Naturally, diet modification and exercise are really good choices that you can implement to help with depression, anxiety, panic attacks, tension. However, more people are basically looking into using some herbs to help relieve them of their various symptoms. One would be, you know, St. John's wort. You've heard about that. Valerian root are among the top choices. About 18.8 million adult Americans, that's almost 10% of the population, pretty much depressed. More women, about a little over 12%, and more women than men about 6%, are suffering from depression. And teenagers, too, about 20% of our youth are depressed. Now, modern medicine reporting that people are becoming depressed earlier in life, and more teenagers and young adults more suicidal. Well, you know, I'm sure the drugs they put them on have a lot to do with that. Many of the prescription drugs for depression warn against increased risk of suicide while taking the drug, and suicide is the third leading cause of death among teenagers. The National Institute of Mental Health reports that there are 25 suicide attempts for every successful suicide. So gender does play a role here in teen suicide. More males are successful at completing the suicide than females, and males are more resistant to intervention and less likely to call for help. Most people who consider suicide feel helpless and have lost all hope, and people develop such feelings when they are traumatized or they perceive that no one cares. I can understand that, because we live in an apathetic society. Okay, let's talk about substance abuse for just a second, because teens, young adults, older individuals are turning to drugs and alcohol to help them cope with their depression. Substance abuse alters brain chemicals and contributes to suicide rates. Also, firearms are used in over half of the teen suicides. So, you know, guns, alcohol, drugs, they don't make a really good mix out there. And what about mixing drugs with your herbs? Well, if you or your doctor feel that you can take herbs and antidepressant drugs, think again. Mixing your herbs like your St. John's wort or your valerian root with your Prozac, your Paxil, or Zoloft is going to expose you to risk of a brain chemical imbalance called serotonin syndrome. And if this happens, you can experience severe symptoms of nausea, anxiety, agitation, confusion, dizziness, and involuntary muscle twitching. So mixing antidepressants, narcotics, or barbiturates with your herbs, such as valerian root, is also not recommended. If you mix valerian root with antidepressants, you can experience the following side effects: drowsiness, confusion, memory loss, difficulty breathing. Antidepressants can magnify the valerian root in your bloodstream. Also, for a small percentage of people, valerian root can make the symptoms of depression worse. Some people are just wired a little different, so be aware of that. Let me look at St. John's wort just for a second. What is the deal regarding St. John's wort anyway? Can it help with depression? Is it an herb that has been used successfully? Well, it's been used for more than 2,000 years, mostly for treating wounds. So how did we start using it for depression? Well, in the 1980s, researchers reported that St. John's wort exhibited potent antidepressant action comparable to pharmaceutical drugs. And prior to this research, Americans spent about $10 million a year on St. John's wort products for bruises and wounds. So after that research was published, Americans spent $550 million on St. John's wort for depression alone. Well, let's look at the history of St. John's wort carefully here. In the first century, the Romans used St. John's wort for poisonous snake bites, and the Greeks used it for burns and as a diuretic, for fever, malaria, and to treat sciatica. In the 17th century, the English used St. John's wort for internal and external injuries. The plant reduced the swelling and helped wounds to heal faster. It was introduced to the American colonists, who introduced the herb to the native Indians, and the Indians used St. John's wort as well. They like to use it for diarrhea, fever, snake bites, wounds, and various skin problems. Now, the herb was utilized during the Civil War by the medics, who felt that it helped reduce nerve pain. And the naturopaths of this era also used St. John's wort to prevent tinnitus and female issues and herpes. So let's look at some of the studies on St. John's wort. The scientific research has actually yielded that the herb contains compounds, hypercernin, and that is an antidepressant. That has an antidepressant action in its own right. It also contains antiviral compounds and immune-boosting flavonoids. This would explain why it's an excellent herb for healing wounds and healing bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. German researchers discovered that the hypercernin in the plant in the 1980s, and they also learned that it blocked the body's MOA, that is an oxidase, and many of the antidepressant drugs are MOA inhibitors. So a German study showed that those with mild to moderate depression experienced relief using St. John's wort and reported improving things like their self-esteem. It elevated their mood. They were more interested in life. They had a better appetite, and they slept better. So the study was published in the British Medical Journal, and it reported 55% success rate for treating depression with St. John's wort. By 1996, St. John's wort was a popular herb for depression, and many more studies have been done since then, such as the study of 1999 by the University of Hawaii School of Medicine. Now, they were confirming the results of the German studies, and the Hawaiian study stated that St. John's wort was as effective at treating depression as the pharmaceutical Tricyclics. Those are a grade of pharmaceutical drugs. Now, more German studies cropped up that compared St. John's wort to things like Prozac and SSRI, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and the test group had the herb compared to the group taking the Prozac. So after 6 weeks, they compared the groups, and those that were taking the Prozac reported a 72% success rate, and those on the St. John's wort reported a 71% success rate, but without any side effects. So this study suggests that St. John's wort competed pretty well with the pharmaceutical drugs for treating severe depression. A British study recommended the herb to be used for seasonal affective disorder, or the SAD, and those taking prescribed MOA inhibitors for depression, they must observe, you know, food restrictions because the drug interacts badly with certain foods. However, an added benefit for patients using St. John's wort for depression is there's no food restrictions. But patience is going to be the key if you want to use St. John's wort. If you decide to use the herb for depression, you must exercise patience. German medical herbalist Rodolf Fitz Weiss, he's an MD, but he's also an herbalist. He explains that the herb's benefit does not come as quickly as a prescribed antidepressant. You can expect to see results within 2 or 3 months. So a German e-commission, they approved the use of St. John's wort for treating depression, and the New York Times reported in 1996 that the herb outsells Prozac 4-1 in Germany. So if you're patient, you can use it. It's natural, there's no side effects, there's no food restrictions, and you'll probably be better off down the road. It'd be cheaper, too. Let's look at some more research. The hypercernin found in the St. John's wort has a broad antiviral range that is also effective against flu, herpes, polio, hepatitis C, and HIV. Researchers in 1988 at New York University and Israel's Weizmann Institute published that the herb was also had the ability to assist the human immune system to fight HIV. Well, let's shift gears and let's look at valerian root. It's one of my favorite herbs. I like it a lot. It takes tension out of the central nervous system. But not everyone likes valerian root because of its strong odor and taste. And for this reason, the ancient Greeks and the Romans found the herb to be disagreeable. Now, the Latin name valeri means to be strong, and valerian became the most popular in the 10th and 12th centuries. It was being used as a sleep aid and as a tranquilizer. By the 1500s, valerian root was as popular as an herb can be for menstrual cramps. The American Indians would actually pulverize the roots of valerian and use it as a wound dressing. American colonial herbalist Samuel Thompson admitted valerian was a nervine herb, and he said it was a superb tranquilizer. Now, this herb made it into the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, the drug reference, as a tranquilizer in 1820, but was listed there until about 1942. Valerian was removed from the national formulary, the Pharmacist's Guide, in 1950. So the physicians of the 1800s used valerian root for epilepsy, spasms, hypochondria, and as a sleep aid. Large doses were avoided as it can cause restlessness, agitation, giddiness, nausea, and hallucinations. Europeans after World War II used valerian root to soothe their frazzled nerves after the trauma of artillery bombardments, and later herbalists recommended valerian root for headaches, insomnia, panic attacks, anxiety, and spastic colon. It's a great herb, you just don't want to overuse it. And use it in a liquid form rather than a capsule or a tablet. It's just more effective. It does not, they say tranquilizer, they use it as, it doesn't sedate you like a narcotic. You know, you don't feel like that. You can still, you know, operate a car. In other words, it just calms the nervous system down. Let's talk about some of the studies regarding valerian root. Very popular in Germany. It is an ingredient in over 100 of their over-the-counter remedies, like sleep aids and children's products. Scientists discovered that valerian contains veloporetate compounds, which are sedative properties, and this explains why valerian is effective as a sleep aid for insomnia. Two German studies and one Swiss study tested valerian against a placebo and found that patients fell asleep faster, rested longer, and awoke more refreshed than the group taking the placebo. So it's very effective. All studies reported no side effects, and another German study specifically tested the level of sleep using valerian root. Elderly people usually have insomnia or have trouble staying asleep. So the study found that when they took valerian root, they would sleep better through the night. They would not just have a light stage one sleep, but they would be in a deeper sleep. So it helped the elderly get a better night's sleep. They also compared valerian to other sleep drugs like Valium and Halcyon, and they found that valerian was a much milder and safer sedative. Compared to the sleep drugs, valerian offered no withdrawal effects and was not magnified like drugs are when they're mixed with alcohol. So it's a safer. I like it a lot. The recommended amounts of valerian do not offer that groggy feeling like you've been drugged, which other sleep aids produce. Also, pregnant women who used Valium increased their risk of having a child with a cleft palate, so valerian may be an alternative. It is not linked to birth defects. The herb is not linked to birth defects. So the Germany Commission recommends valerian root for sleep problems, and so do I. It's an awesome herb to have. Let's talk about high blood pressure for just a second, because several animal studies have been done to see if valerian root actually reduces blood pressure. The studies indicated that it does for animals, but may react differently in humans. And what about epilepsy? They were using it in 1800s for epilepsy. Well, the ancients used valerian root for epilepsy, but does it really work? Researchers tested valerian root on animals, and it does seem to have some anticonvulsant effects. And what about cancer? Well, some recent research discovered that valerian root has some anti-cancer properties similar to nitrogen mustard. Therefore, we may see valerian root in future cancer research and in medications. All right, and using valerian root safely. Well, make sure you use a high-quality product. If you're going to use valerian root, follow the product directions. High doses of valerian root can cause blurred vision, headache, giddiness, restlessness, and nausea. Also, you do not want to mix valerian with prescription medications. Also, if you have serious health conditions such as heart, kidney, or lung failure, you should not use valerian root. Relatively healthy people report no adverse side effects using this herb, and valerian root is on the FDA safe list but is not recommended for pregnant or nursing mothers or for those using other tranquilizers or sedatives. Although, if I was pregnant, nursing, and I had to choose between Valium and Valerian, you know what I'd go for. Okay, you're going to find certified organic Valerian root tincture. It's a liquid. Apothecary Herbs have it. They also have St. John's wort as an ingredient in their emotional stress formula. Both work really well for depression, anxiety, panic attacks. Remember, everyone has their own unique dose threshold, and you'll have to be patient and use these herbs for a few months. Usually rule of thumb is 2 to 4 months with natural herbs to see improvement. When using your antidepressants, it takes several weeks for drugs to work, and that's the prescription stuff. It takes that long to get into the system. Therefore, you know, you want to be aware that it's going to require a little time for the herbs to work. Regardless of the time needed, though, herbs at Apothecary Herbs have a money-back guarantee. You can test drive the product. There's not a time restriction. You can call for more information or for a free product catalog on their toll-free number at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., the international number is 803-746-0219, 803-746-0219. Of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com. Of course, you'll get complete instructions with all the products on use and product support from Apothecary Herbs if you have questions or concerns. Also, they are in their stock-up special, their annual stock-up special. They extended it through the end of August, backing it right up to Labor Day. So on selected formulas, you can save up to 30%. You know, fall and winter just around the corner. So you can stock up on your immune-boosting herbs and so forth and save some money. So check that out. You can visit the website. You'll see which items are on the stock-up special there. Or if you would like, you'll receive a free list of those products on special with your catalog request. So check that out. Toll-free number, once again, 866-229-3663. Yeah, we're working on our new product catalog, which will hopefully be rolling off the presses the first of the year. So we're working on the 2012 product catalog. Hope it will be smashing. Okay, we've got a few minutes. We're going to talk about your food list, the foods we eat. We have power, we do, with the foods that we put into our body. We have more power than any healthcare industry would like us to have. So how can you exercise this power? Well, with the selection of foods that you're eating. If you had a list of foods known to protect your health and a list of foods known to tear down your health, you know, you would want to look at that list, wouldn't you? You sure would. That list probably would be right on that refrigerator door so all the family can see. Here's the do, here's the do not do. The soccer schedule's going to move aside because we want to be healthier. So the best and the worst. So what determines which foods are good and which are bad for you? Well, foods affect several things. Your system, pH, they affect the transit time of your bowel and the toxin removal. It affects all 12 body systems, and normally we don't really think of foods doing all that. We typically are more concerned with how the food tastes or how much it costs, right? So what foods make the worst list? Well, foods made by giant food processors who only are interested in profit, they're going to be on that worst food list. So all those processed salted foods, foods coated with that processed salt, which contains really no mineral nutrition, are on the list. There are more salted foods than you think. There's salted fish, nuts, seeds, soups, of course, your cracker snacks. The salty and sweet foods are also going to be on the list. You know, your chips, your pretzels, everything. Of course, the constipating foods are going to be on this list as well. Foods that slow down the elimination channel of the body, bog it down, coat it, make it all mucousy. Foods that slow toxin removal to a crawl, a majority of them are going to allow toxins to be reabsorbed before you can even eliminate them. So the foods that constipate and slow down the process of elimination are the starchy foods. Coffee can also be a problem, cheese and chocolate. Foods that add to our body fat index are going to be on this list, and you're going to severely limit those or avoid them altogether. These foods will contain your refined sugar, bacon, barley soup, pork, buckwheat, and other fatty meats. Wheat, which is high in gluten, and the body converts that to sugar and damages the internal flora, and a lot of your organs can't handle it. Also going to be on the list, so you know, make sure you get whole grains and limit the carbohydrates. Americans have a food pyramid diet, but it contains 29% refined wheat foods, which are bad for you. Long-term use of excessive refined grains produce an absorption problem and a calcium deficiency. So we're going to watch that. What are going to be the foods on the best list? They're going to help the elimination channels have a free flow of toxins out the body. They're going to assist you to have good health. Beets, apples, radishes, flaxseed all have natural laxative-like properties, keep things moving. And we need foods that help us keep our system clean, and these are going to include what I call solvent foods. These foods help keep cholesterol balanced and prevent cardiovascular disease. These have lecithin, omega-3 fatty acids, your fish and olive oil, and foods with lots of chlorophyll. Berries are going to be excellent sources for natural iron and keep the blood from getting clogged up with impurities, and also keep you moving. It's like a natural laxative. Your liver has a life balancing task to perform in your body, and it needs some natural iron. And you can't beat the chlorophyll in your greens that provide also natural iron and strengthen the liver. So if your system tends to run hot, you know, try some cucumbers. They are high in sodium, natural sodium, the good kind, and help keep the system cool. You'll literally be as cool as a cucumber. So, and to help the brain function, eat more baked or broiled fish with the phosphorus in it. Eggs are also on the best food list, in moderation, of course. Eggs were going to provide you some brain food, food for the nervous system and your glands. Dates help keep your body warm in the wintertime, and garlic is your natural antiseptic, antibiotic. It contains high amounts of sulfur, and it keeps the microorganisms at a minimum and makes the brain more active and is food for the reproductive system as well. So if you want to assist the body to regenerate and heal before a new tissue replaces the old, you have to actually, you know, purge out those toxins and keep that system running really well. So that's your food list. If you like a master food list, we have a food list of alphabet food list of vitamins and minerals. You can kind of beef up your diet with those. They're free for the asking. Apothecary Herbs will send it to you. So just ask for it. 866-229-3663 or request off the website, thepowerherbs.com. I'm out of time, but you know, don't go anywhere. Messiah's Branch with Pastor Dan Catlin is up next. The information presented is not diagnosed to prevent, cure, treat, prevent disease, so seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.